All right, we're going to open up to our left, Lori.
Coach, we've asked you about the depth chart of quarterback several times before, but I don't think we've asked you about the depth chart overall. Is your theory on the two deep that what you said about the QBs, you want guys to make mistakes right now and not be worried about that? Or do you want that to be a carrot for them and you do want something set by the end of spring? I guess what's your theory on the depth chart?
Yeah, you know, guys are continuing to compete for those spots. They're trying not to look like too much like it's spring and then preseason as opposed to just a continuous practice. You know, we have 15 here, spring game, and then, you know, we go into the preseason. We just want to pick up from where we left off that way. And it's the same thing with the competitions. You know, preseason's a long time. It's 3 weeks, and so injuries happen, different things happen, and we like to mix up the different, you know, guys working with each other. I think some positions it's more important than others, but we always want to have competition. And so, you know, we're not in a rush to name starters or anything like that. I don't think that's appropriate, really, until you get into the preseason. So, yeah, the competition is really good because that drives guys to get better.
Depth chart right now, but it's written in pencil.
I guess you could put it that way. Sure. I mean, you know, if some guys have been starters before or have a lot more experience, you know, they're kind of the incumbent, and then the other guys got to beat them out. And a lot of positions we get to play depth. So, you know, who was the starter last year? Paris Campbell or KJ Hill? I don't know. They both played, and it never really got into it. You know, who was the starter? Z, Terry McLaurin or Johnny Dixon? I don't know. They both kind of played. So. So I guess sometimes it depends on the position, I guess, too.
Over the Raiders, right? Curious what kind of interaction you've had with NFL people about Dwayne Haskins. It seems like there's some weird vibes out there about now he's not attending the draft. Was there a misstep along the way?
No, he never planned on going to the draft. Even I remember talking, I think last year at this time, he said if I ever had that opportunity, I wouldn't go to the draft. You know, he just wanted to be with his family, and he's got a big family, a lot of supporters, so I think he wanted to do something back home. I think that's something he always wanted to do. And, we had almost all 32 teams come through and sit in my office, ask questions about them. They've had people come through. They've had quarterback coaches. They've had GMs, owners, presidents, you know, and so everybody's coming through. And there becomes a certain time in the draft where, you know, guys' stock goes real high, and then they try to, you know, shoot holes in them, and then right before the draft they start to rise back up again. So it's just that's kind of how that thing goes down.
You have no qualms about his ability to do any of that?
No, not at all.
Front row middle, Dave.
Ryan, I just want to ask you about the spring game format. You mentioned there's going to be a running clock in the second half. Will there be tackling? Will it be a mixing of thudding up and tackling, touch football, like – what should
it'll be thud. Yeah, it'll be thud. Yeah. I just thought about it a bunch, and really tackling in the spring is a dangerous thing. You know, we spend so much time and so much effort recruiting these guys, getting them ready to go. Just don't think it's worth it to try to put the guys to the ground right now.
That leads to my next question. Like, I imagine for a head coach, it's a difficult balance to walk as far as practicing tackling. You want to practice it to a certain degree, I imagine, but you also, there's a fine line there where you don't want to risk injury. Can you elaborate on that and just how much do you guys actually practice bringing them to the ground?
So we have a drill that we do usually every other day. I'd say we've probably done it 6 or 7 times this spring where it's a tackling drill where our guys go through and actually tackle. But it's a very contained, self-contained drill where we, you know, limit the exposure to get injured.
Third row left. Dan?
Ryan, in terms of the quarterbacks, as you go into Saturday's game, what are the things that you feel like you need to see from them in that game environment as you continue to evaluate them?
Yep. I mean, the coaches are off the field, so now it's their team. You know, what does their leadership look like? How do they manage the game? How does it look like, you know, managing the plays, managing the drive, understanding situations down and distance? Field position, things like that. Really, really important. Leadership on the field, energy level, body demeanor, all those things we'll be looking at. And obviously the ability to, you know, work a team down the field and score touchdowns.
How important in your mind is the spring game part of the evaluation in terms of guys being in the stadium, playing in front of the crowd?
Not as much. It's kind of like when you go into the preseason and, you know, guys are getting ready to play, and there's a little bit of an exposure, like this game will be a little bit of an exposure to see how they do in that environment. But the body of work over 15 practices is really what we go back on, because we get to see that every day. get to see how they operate, and it's our job as coaches to create game environments to see how they react and to put them in those type of situations. The only thing that would be different was now you're in front of a huge crowd in the horseshoe and how you respond to that. So that's a little bit a part of it, but day in and day out, we get to see how they respond to certain situations.
Front row right, Austin.
Ryan, you talked at the start of spring about JK wanting more of the load or more carries. You guys planning to do that? What do you see as the complement to JK for the ground game?
Well, I mean, I think that last year we got the ball to the perimeter a little bit more in terms of some of the bubble screens and like that. We'll continue to build that. you know, the quarterback run is something that, you know, we're going to be, you know, more involved with again this year. And then, you know, we'll see as we continue to build this identity on offense, because it is going to be different than it was with JT. It'll be different than it was with Dwayne, you know, how we continue to do that.
How have you seen that competition for the backup or two or three spots at tailback work out?
It's been good. It's been good. You know, Master Teague's had a little bit of a nagging injury, but when he's been out there, he's done a nice job. He's been very deliberate with his reps. I think he's done really well. Marcus Crowley's really shined. Yeah, he's you know, a young guy who's Gatorade Player of the Year in Florida, and he's got a lot of experience down there playing, but not in college. And so he's working through those reps, and he's learning every day. When he knows what he's doing, and he's playing fast, he's big, strong back running downhill. And DeMario still hasn't practiced, so you know we haven't been able to see what we can get out of him.
Right,
Tim.
Yeah, Ryan. Real quick, give me one name of one guy this spring. I'm not, maybe he hadn't become a starter or something, but guy you've seen make big progress that you think would be in the picture as this thing goes on.
On offense?
Yeah. Either way.
Yeah.
Both sides.
Yeah. On offense. I mean, again, as somebody that, you know, maybe hasn't played a lot, it probably is Garrett Wilson. Just seeing him make plays day in and day out down the field, I think it would probably be him on offense. On defense, again, you know, Sean Wade made a lot of plays last year. He's been having a really good camp. And Josh Proctor is another guy who shined. I mean, he's got his hands on a lot of footballs, and he's done a good job. And when his eyes are in the right place and he's disciplined on each play, he is showing up.
You know, spring football is sort of a tradition, going back eons. Mm-hmm. Would you guys now in this modern era be better served, do you think, by a couple of OTAs, for whatever you want to call it, or sessions, I mean, through the year as opposed to one? I mean, just what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think anytime you do something like that, there is a ripple effect, and there are other unintended consequences and things that come through. So without just blurting out an answer, yeah, I'd love to do that, you don't have to think it through. But, you know, there are things nowadays that we can do. We're not allowed to use a football, but we can do some, you know, position-specific, you know, drills and things like that. So that's good. And, you know, we don't get to do a ton of football in the off season, though. It's mostly conditioning things. And so the more we can do of that, I think the better.
One last thing, you used to evaluate quarterbacks for the NFL. What is it about Dwayne more than anything else that you think stands out that in that final analysis when they decide to pull the trigger or not will be the deciding point for him?
Yeah, I think when you look at what he did in 1 year, it's tremendous. But I think anytime you have a quarterback like that, you're looking for, you know, what is his extraordinary skill? What is it makes him different? All the great ones have that. Excuse me. And I think his thing is his accuracy and his ability to see the field. He sees the field really, really well. And the ball was kind of always in the right spot. And, you know, with 50 touchdowns and I forget how many interceptions, but he didn't throw very many interceptions. You know, we threw the ball a lot. And so when you come back and really think about that throughout the season, I think that's really remarkable. And then his size. I mean, he's big. He can see over those linemen. He's not 6 feet tall. He's, you know, he can really see. So I think the combination of those two make him different.
Third row, second row left, Ari.
Ryan, you've basically, you know, done everything there is to do as a head coach, having coached some games last year and stuff. But it's your first spring game where, you know, it's a big recruiting weekend.
Yeah.
How involved are you in putting together the list of who's coming? How closely do you talk with Mark? I mean, this is like, I mean, how do you go through? Can you just take me behind the scenes a little bit of just how much goes into the recruiting aspect of the weekend?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot, and we meet on it almost every day. We talk about it every day, and, you know, Mark obviously is the guy who spearheads the whole thing, but we're all involved with it. And nowadays it's, you know, 2019 signees who are coming back in to spend some time with us, and they're actually allowed to do a workout with Mick. That's great. See where they're at and find out, you know, where they are in their progress. Have meetings with them on football, different things. And then the 2020s are big, the 2021, so even 2022s. So big opportunity, great chance for those guys to see what, you know, game day's like. And, you know, the amount of people that show up for our spring game is extraordinary here. So that's a huge selling point for us and shows the support of Buckeye Nation. But we meet on it every day. We go through the schedule. We go through making sure that, you know, we're organized with all the people here. It is hard because there are so many visitors that sometimes you don't get to spend as much personal one-on-one time with each recruit. But the experience overrides that, and it's always really positive.
Any new perspective that you might have now being the head coach in terms of how intensive this is, how different it is from just like a controlling aspect? I mean, this being in this position now, is there any insight into, you know, how different you might view recruiting in a weekend like this?
It's just that as the head coach in college football, that really, that's what you do is recruit. In some of the weekends, the big weekends we had, once practice is over, I go in my office and recruits are just coming through all the way until I go home at night. And there's no watching football. There's no watching film. That's part of being a head coach. And it's not something that surprises me. It's just what it is. That's the reality of it. But at the end of the day, when you have a group of guys like we have here and the resources we have here and you delegate and you empower those guys to really do their job, then that's the key to being a good leader.
Front row left, Doug.
When you obviously had a look at Matthew as a quarterback a little bit in practice at the end of last year after he got healthy, right? You got some sense of him. Watching Justin this spring, live for the first time, as you stand here now, what did you take away? Are there things about Justin as a quarterback that you maybe didn't know before he got here? Obviously, you'd watched as much as you could. What did you learn about Justin Fields?
You know, in the recruiting process, had a chance to recruit him, had a chance to watch him practice in the spring and watch his films, like you said, but not a lot of one-on-one time and seeing the way he works day in and day out. very impressed with his ability to retain information, his football IQ. You forget for such a mature kid, he really hasn't played much football at all. You know, so it's the same thing. You know, he and Matthew were in the same boat that way. Really, he's a freshman. You know, they're both really freshmen. When you think about that, like, it catches me sometimes that you know, they were in high school last year. You know, I mean, and so you know, I think that both of the guys have done a good job grasping the information. But I think specifically the question you asked about Justin, I think his physical traits are tremendous. You know, just in terms of his size, his ability to move, he's got a strong arm. But then also he has good intangibles. I mean, he does. He understands what's going on. He sees defenses. He, like I said, has a good football IQ. So those are kind of the things that we've learned, and we're still learning as we go. It's only 15 practices. In the grand scheme of things, that's not a lot. And so we'll keep building into the preseason.
We've talked about Garrett a couple times in here. How is he blocking, and how important in your mind is that aspect of determining which receivers are going to be out there and how much that is part of their job?
He's blocking okay. He can do much better with that. He needs to get stronger, and he needs to do a better job in the preseason on blocking. And so that is very, very important. I mean, that's when we start getting into Big Ten play and we start, you know, playing against some of those hard defenses, we've got to be able to block. That's a big part of it. And he can improve in that area, and he knows that. That's one of those things we'll be talking about after the spring. But he's willing, and he's willing to stick his face in there, and that's, you know, 80% of it.
And I know, as Lori asked, you're not making final determinations on starting jobs or anything close to that right now. But what have you thought about now being the head coach, that part of the job, when it comes down to who's going to play and who's not going to play? How will that go? How do you think you'll handle that? How much do you want to leave that up to the position coaches to make that ultimate decision? How much do you feel like, no, I've got to make the final call on guys? What's that going to be like for you?
I think that, you know, you start off with the position coaches, and, you know, most of the time it's already going to be decided. I mean, you know who the starter is. You know, guys over a period of time and have a body of work, you know, you kind of know who the starter is. And then the position coach gives his information, and if it's close, they both play. And that's okay. We've done that around here a lot. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I have the final say. But, again, empowering the position coach and the coordinators to give their opinion. And then, ultimately, it comes down to me. But, you know, the majority of the time, everybody knows who the starter is.
All right, Bill.
What position groups are you most interested in seeing how they perform on Saturday?
No one group in particular, actually. I just kind of want to see how, you know, some of the guys go out there and play. I think when you look at on defense, a lot of guys have experience. They've played a lot of football, but they're in a new scheme, so kind of see how they put that on the field, what that looks like, you know, in a game situation. On offense, we have guys who have some experience, but not a lot of game starts. And, you know, the receiver group with Austin and Ben and KJ, those guys are a little more veteran. Chris Olave's, you know, played some, not enough. The tight end group is a little bit more veteran. So those kind of, you know what you're going to get out of those group. It's the guys who haven't done it as much. Some of the guys on the offensive line, the quarterbacks. You know, I'm excited to see how the secondary plays. You know, I got a good feel what that the defensive line is going to look like with Chase and Coop and Tariq Smith and those guys coming off the edge. You know, interior guys, kind of excited to see what those guys look like. They've had a really good camp, you know. And then at linebacker, you know, I think that they've got their hands on a lot of balls. They've created, you know, had another interception today, got their hands on a pass, and they've been more active, so that's good. So you know what you're going to see with a lot of those positions, but some of the younger guys who haven't played, you just want to see how they react in the horseshoe in the game.
Nicholas P. Frere, his performance this spring, how much of a jump has he taken, and where does he stand in that competition?
Again, well, I think one of the more improved guys on the whole offense. I'm really impressed with what Coach Studd has done with him. He got here this summer, and in a short order, he's really taken big strides. Is he perfect? No. Is he ready yet? No, but he's close. And very, very impressed what he's done so far this spring. Very serious about his business and doing a really good job.
Can you just kind of go through the injuries? Who will not play on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't – if you have somebody specific, I can kind of – but
will not play.
Yeah, Tough probably won't play. We're going to probably go through that in the next day or so and really decide who will go. But, yeah, Tough won't go. Who else you got?
Fuller.
No, he won't go. Yeah, the guys who have been kind of out, they're not going to play.
No,
Thayer won't go. Jordan won't go. No, he won't go either. Chris will be like, well, we'll decide him and some of the other guys here in the next day or so, kind of where they're at. Yeah.
Fourth row middle, Pat.
Similar to what I was asking about recruiting, but from the team side, since you took over the program to almost the end of spring, what's something that you didn't know then that you know now going through this whole last 4+ months that you think has made you a better coach or whatnot?
Yeah, I think the recruiting part of it just it that's a huge just day in and day. That's just what it is, you know. So you can't really. There's not as much X's and O's. It's that kind of stuff. But it's something I knew, but maybe didn't appreciate enough. Is your staff and the trust that you have in your staff to, you know, relay the message that you're trying to relay to the team day in and day out. And I think our coaching staff's done an unbelievable job of creating this toughness that we've been talking about. Toughness on the field, toughness, you know, mentally, toughness, bringing energy every day, being consistent. And so our coaching staff really, and you rely on those guys, and you're only as strong as the guys that are around you. So you got to hire great people, you got to motivate them, and then they got to go do their job and relay your message. And so that's something that, you know, I just really have thought about, you know, driving into work every day is, you know, how do I continually get the message to the team? And the best way to do it is through the assistant coaches. And I think we have one of the best staffs in America, and so we'll keep building on that as we go.
Going back to the format with the game, are you guys going to draft teams? How do you break that up?
No, we won't, because we want to have good on good. So we'll just kind of separate that out. And then some guys who have a lot of experience, you know, take Chase Young for, he's not going to play very much. So he'll quickly be out of the game. And so then how do we get somebody else back and behind him? We'll have several guys with double jerseys. So we'll kind of move them back and forth a little bit and making sure that, you know, we get those guys out of there early if we need to. And then we kind of go from there. But really, it'll be kind of like the first group against the first group, second group against the second group. And then as the game goes on, then we'll kind of adjust from there.
Far left, Matt.
Another part of the weekend is the coaches' clinic getting started tomorrow. They've been doing it for years here at Ohio State. Just how important is that to the program?
Huge, huge. Yeah, our clinic that we're putting on starting tomorrow is really important to our staff. We've met on it several times, and the thing that we're doing is we're really going to do a great job in the clinics of having you know, having an open door policy and trying to be as, you know, as real as we can and give the coaches what they need in terms of helping the Ohio coaches and anybody else who's coming. You know, there's going to be people outside of Ohio coming to this clinic, and we want to help them. And so almost everybody on our staff is going to be presenting. I'll be presenting, coordinators will be presenting, and then we'll have chalk talks along the way. We'll be available. We're going to do on-field demonstrations on Friday. And I just really want to show all the people, especially the coaches in Ohio, how important this is to us and how we're going to be a resource for them. I got a lot of feedback on how excited all the coaches are about coming to practice, about the way we're recruiting their kids, about the way our staff is just attacking Ohio and you know, the 3 to 4 hour radius. And this is just another part of that, just to show how important that is. We're going to be recognizing some really great coaches. Steve Speck goes again. Chris Spielman will be, you know, so we're going to do a good job of recognizing those guys too. I think that's important. And then there's some camaraderie. You know, we'll have, you know, at night we'll have the chalk talks, and then we'll have some socials and just kind of spending some time and making sure how they understand how important Andrew was.
Second row left, Bill.
Ryan, I know that quarterbacks sort of coming and going is kind of the nature of the beast across the country now. For a guy like Matthew, who was here for basically a calendar year,
yeah,
has the entire picture change around to the point where he's the longest tenured guy in the room now after 1 year. Just how have you seen him handle that and sort of grow sort of in that new role this spring?
Well, it was hard for him because when he was here last year, he really wasn't able to do much because the timing was such that he came off of that knee injury and then the season started when he was really full-time. And by then, we didn't want to put him down on the scout team where he had guys coming over the walls at him and he was getting exposed to getting a guy falling on his knee because it wasn't there yet. So he was with us, and he was kind of in the back taking mental reps while Dwayne and Tate were taking most of the team reps. So he really wasn't doing a whole bunch. He was trying to, it was all up here. And that wasn't easy for him. It was a long fall, but it was the right thing to do because we didn't want to expose him to getting hit. He wasn't really, you know, really confident on that thing yet. Went through the season. Bowl practice was big for him. He was able to get out there and start to get his feet underneath him. I think he's building his confidence every day. And I think that, you know, the best practices he's had is the last probably 4 or 5.
And I know when you're recruiting a guy, you're looking at his skills, obviously. But the fact that he sort of stuck it out in high school, knowing in the back of his head that he probably wasn't going to start until he was a senior, was any part of that appealing in your evaluation of him?
You evaluate everything in this situation. His family, Minnie and Mike, are unbelievable people. His sister Ginger is awesome. And Matthew is a great kid. And so, you know, when we look to evaluate bringing in anybody on our team, but also a quarterback, you know, you look at the whole picture. You know, somebody jumped around from program to program, or were they loyal to their program? Did they work through and then have an opportunity, and then he goes out and has one of the best seasons in all of America and takes his team to a state championship in you know, one of the toughest leagues in the entire country. So really impressed with that, and just really impressed with the way he goes to work every day. And that it's not about, you know, what happens if I don't win the job? Am I going to try to go move somewhere else? No, he's a Buckeye, and that's really important. That's important to our team, and he's getting better. I mean, he's throwing the ball really well, improving in other areas, being challenged by his teammates. So it's been a great spring for him.
And we got time for one last question. Third row right, Rob.
Ryan, you've made it clear you're going to be the play-calling guy in the fall, but I think going into spring you said you're going to kind of let some guys have a hand in it.
Sure.
How has that gone? What's it going to look like Saturday? And what was the real purpose of that when you get right down to it, of having them do that?
Yeah, I think a lot went into it. You know, Kevin's mostly done some of that. You know, Mike is and actually, you know, I've been on the headset too, and you know, sometimes we'll have conversations before a play. What do you want to run in play it situations or situational times that we do that? And I think it's been good. It's good to hear what guys are talking about, what they like, what they want to hang their hat on. So I think that part's been good. But we'll split Mike and Kevin up at the spring game and then allow those guys to call the plays. I'll have a headset on listening in and give a little feedback here and there, but I just think it's good. I think it's healthy. I think it helps understand what guys feel strong about too, what plays they like. Because sometimes, you know, when a coach suggests a play, you know, if they feel strong about it, when they go in front of a group of people or in front of their you know, position, they're going to sell it hard. And that's a big part of it. And so it gives you an idea of where guys are at. And it's been, you know, Kevin's done a great job like he always has. He's been calling plays his whole life, so he's got an unbelievable feel for it. And so has Mike.
How did that factor into the fall? Did it change any thinking you had of how it's going to work, the dynamic of play calling? Or
you know, but Kevin and I have always had conversations, you know, whether it was the first year or this past year, you know, always back and forth, you know, even in the first three games when, you know, as I was acting head coach, it was the same type of thing. You know, Kevin's always been involved with this, always has input. And typically we'll go through after a series, all right, what do you guys like here? Let's go a couple runs, a couple passes. We put a script together, and that's what we're calling. So, you know, all the guys, and it's not just those two guys. I mean, you know, Stud and Tony and Hart, you know, they all have a hand in this play calling. So, and then at the end of the day, we all own it.
Coach, thank you very much.
Sure.